Good afternoon and welcome to the Midday. I'm Stephanie Elkins in for Norman Gilliland today. And it's a lucky day for me to be in for Norman because I have a very special guest. Flutist Darlene Drew is here. Welcome, Darlene.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And you are here because, well, you're a flutist. You've got a classical background, and you've been the principal flute for the Ravinia Festival Orchestra and lots of other activities. But you're here in Wisconsin because you're with the touring production of The Lion King, and you play not just one flute, but 14 or 15 different flutes for this production.
That's right.
And that must be quite a different job for you. What is that like, serving in the touring production of a show like that?
Oh, it's really quite a tremendous opportunity and just a beautiful part to play. And as a classical musician, it was definitely quite a stretch to go into these different ethnic instruments. I'm playing instruments from Ireland, China, India, Peru. This that I'm holding here, I wish your listeners could see. It's a whole rack of pipes strung together. It's a very nice Romanian-style pan pipe that, if you're familiar with Zamfir, he made it sort of famous here.
He sure did.
And it creates quite unique sounds in the score that I'm really excited to tell you about today.
Well, how did you end up with The Lion King?
Oh, back in 2002, I met a colleague who was playing the show in Los Angeles, and he said, you should really check this out. It's going to be coming to Chicago. And I thought he was insane. And looking at these flutes and these bamboo sticks, and after decades of working so hard on perfecting the standard silver Western flute, I thought, you want me to play those? Why would I do that? And then I heard the music, and he invited me out to LA to sit in on the show, and I was just instantly in love. And I spent about a year learning how to play these instruments, some of them very tricky, including this Romanian pan, which was the hardest one.
Can we hear some of the sounds of the one you've got in your hands?
So it can also, in addition to a melodic sound, have kind of a percussive quality as well. And that kind of breathy edge to the note really creates kind of a exotic quality that many composers actually have since started to incorporate in their music. And I've been very busy on these since my Lion King career started.
You don't think of the flute as necessarily being a percussive instrument, but boy, with your tongue and with the right instrument, you sure can make it sound like that.
Yes, and it's amazing as a classical player what I had to discard in order to play these, because spending so many years to get that clean, beautiful, silvery sound that you get on a Western flute. And now I had to rough it up a little bit and let the notes go flat and glissando between notes and play things a little pitchy at times in order to get that very unique quality that depicts the African savanna.
Well, let's talk about that production a little bit and how the music does bring the story to life and what these techniques are actually. Is it a little bit like text painting like they do in the Baroque, where they're taking the story and trying to tell it through music? Does the music help to tell the story?
Absolutely. And one of the unique things about this show, in addition to the flute book that we're talking today, is the massive amount of percussion that's also included in the show. Any African marimbas, taiko drums, all kinds of instruments from Africa played by not just a drummer, a set drummer, but there's a percussionist in the pit that has a standard concert marimba and a djili, African djili. And then there's two house drummers that everybody gets to watch during the percussion, which someday I want to be able to sit in the audience and just watch them because they're very entertaining and they really add a great sonic element to the score. And then you have your standard strings and brass and keyboards and that round out the sound and fill it out and into a very nice big orchestra sound.
So this is the traveling production of The Lion King, and I was doing a little bit of homework before you came in, and it is one of the most successful, actually, the film plus the Broadway production is the highest grossing combination on the planet. I mean, it's really been extraordinarily successful. And why do you think that is? What do you attribute that to?
I think the whole creative concept, along with the storyline, it all just came together in a stroke of genius. It's the only way I really can describe it. And to watch, when I can see in my monitor the front row of the audience behind the conductor, we have monitors so we can watch the conductor, and I get a glimpse of the front row, and to see utter enchantment on, and it's not just kids, adults, maybe even more so the adults, and just how excited they get, it kind of brings you to your inner child and takes you on a journey that's just so not every day that you can't get enough of it.
Well, and the music is very powerful, and I know some of the scores by Hans Zimmer, who's done a lot of film music, and then, of course, a lot of the songs by Elton John and Tim Rice. And the story is inspired a little bit by Shakespeare, the story of Hamlet. And there's all kinds of archetypes happening, and it comes together, as you say, to really be extraordinarily powerful.
Absolutely.
Well, you've brought a huge array of flutes with you. Darlene came into the studio with several cases, and she unloaded everything from the little teeniest flute to huge big things. So why don't we hear some of these sounds, and maybe you can tell us what's happening on the stage while we would hear these kinds of sounds.
Well, that's a good point that you just mentioned there in the end. The amount of flutes that I play into the characters that are on the stage. And right in the beginning of the show, in the Circle of Life, which I'm not going to do any spoilers because everybody's going to come see the show and I want them to have the full effect and the full surprise. But there's a lovely little melody right in the beginning of Circle of Life after Rafiki gives the sunrise call. So I'll play that little melody right now.
Music from The Lion King, from The Circle of Life. If you're just tuning in, this is The Midday. I'm Stephanie Elkins, in for Norman Gilliland, and my guest is Darlene Drew. She is a flutist. She happens to be from not too far away, just at the Wisconsin-Illinois line, so she's home for a little while. That must be kind of nice.
It's great.
but the production, she's with the Lion King production, the touring production, goes all over the country and beyond, so you're on the road, I would think, quite a bit of the time.
That is correct. Yes, it's an ongoing. It goes from seamlessly from city to city. It's a well-oiled machine. And so we finish on Sunday in one city, and then we're sitting down for a show Tuesday evening the next place. It's pretty astounding how it all just seamlessly, well, it's not easy. I won't say that. There's a lot of work and effort and organization that go into it.
And you've mentioned the orchestra a couple of times. Does it have a good-sized orchestra compared to other musicals and productions like this?
It all depends on the show. This does have a very good-sized orchestra. I mentioned the four percussionists that we have. We have three keyboard players. There are four string players and three brass players. And then there's me.
You're a pretty integral part of things, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, everybody is. It's hard to imagine the score without a single person there. And it's nice, too, because six of those players, three of the string players and three of the brass players, are local players that we join up with when come here. And we love that because we get to find out where all the good restaurants are from them.
Well, and I think one of your conductors is from the Madison area, too. So you've got a few hometown folks, too, that are happy to
be.
We
do, yes.
Yeah, which is kind of nice. Well, why don't we hear a little bit more from the flutes that you have brought? I would love to hear some more sounds.
Okay. The next one I'm going to play, it's a tiny little Chinese flute. There's a couple Chinese flutes I play in the show. And all these instruments only have six holes. They don't have any keys on them. So I can only really effectively get about three or four key signatures out of these instruments. They're not chromatic or half-step instruments, so they have their limits. So that's why you have an array of them as opposed to a keyed flute where you can play in any key that you wish. And I'm going to play on a little flute that's probably more piccolo size, and it's a Chinese flute, and it plays a little theme that signals the first scene with little Nala and Simba, and they're getting ready to do some mischief. And this is called a busa, a little busa theme, little African theme. So just a tiny little bouncy theme that signals them getting ready to, like I say, do some mischief.
So do you have a whole big table of flutes around you? You must have to, or stands or something like that to reach for your different instrument when the time comes?
Good question. I have a stand, and I call it my tower of power. They're all kind of it's a hinge stand. And I have them lined up by key, and I color code them a little bit because I want to make sure that I reach for the correct flute. The B flute and the C flute are almost identical, and it's not good to pick up the B flute for a C flute passage. I hate to say it's been done, but I was able to remedy it quickly, but... So I'm very careful about that.
I would think. And it's probably a little bit dark, isn't it, in the pit?
I have just enough light and I think just enough muscle memory now that I have everything pretty much down to a science.
So you've got your tower of power and it's all organized and color-coded. Oh, with so many flutes, you'd almost have to.
Absolutely. Yeah. They have to be organized and within easy reach.
Well, what else do you have? You've brought so many. Let's hear some more sounds.
Well, I'm going to go to the next extreme. I have a flute here, and I love telling the story of this flute. The correct term for it, it's a Peruvian instrument commonly called the toya, and we call it a bass pan flute. And in its Peruvian incarnation, it's a double rode instrument of pipes, massive. And I have one of those, and it was very difficult to play. And it would actually, going from pipe to pipe, kind of tear up my face.
Is it made from wood?
It's made from bamboo. So when I started my tour, I asked to have one custom made. And the importer of these pan flutes contacted a fellow in Cyprus, on the island of Cyprus, who made this Peruvian instrument, or the South American instrument, out of Chinese bamboo. It was made in a European country to play a show about Africa in North America. And I thought, wow, we almost have all the continents covered with this instrument. And this will really highlight the percussive sounds that I was talking about. And this also happens in the Circle of Life. And it's also this instrument of choice for Scar, the scary Scar music.
Scar is the evil uncle.
He's not a nice guy. No. So. So I'll play a little bit on that. And then there's a scene where Scar makes a very, very kind of slinky, scary appearance, and I play this little passage. So I'm very proud of this instrument. It plays like a Ferrari compared to the other one.
It has a lot of depth.
And it's quite beautiful, too. It's almost like a beautiful piece of furniture, but it plays just as beautiful as it looks.
It is, and it's about, what, 3 feet long or more?
A little more, I would say. Between 3 and 4 feet long.
And varnished. It's just lovely.
And it's the 5 notes I need in the show in the order I need them.
Nothing like custom made.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
It's a Lion King exclusive.
Neat. Well, how about another sound?
Okay.
You brought them all in, so we want to hear at least a nice variety. And we've gone from the little bitty Chinese one to the very deep Peruvian. And what do you have now?
This is another Chinese flute. And I picked this one because I play this in probably what's my favorite song on the show, which is Shadowland. And I don't think I'd be giving too much away if I said that this is a song that Nala sings when she's having to leave her pride. So it's a sad song, but it's absolutely beautiful. And the use of percussion and the flute in this ballad is just, it's my favorite. And I'll play a little theme from that. So very haunting, sad part of the show.
And you're right that it's so different from classical Western playing.
Yes.
You're bending the notes a little bit, and the technique's a little bit different.
Yes.
But it's beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I actually play that theme on 3 different flutes within that song as it modulates through the different keys. So it's quite a lovely tune in the show.
So I mentioned at the beginning that you were principal flute for the Ravinia Festival, and you've played with so many symphonies and done a lot of the classical. Have you had to give a lot of that up to take on this touring life? And if so, has that been challenging?
There are challenges to touring. You do give up a lot of your home life and home scene. The flip side of that is I'm getting to see parts of the country that I probably would have never gone to. Just last week, I was at Monticello and in Richmond, Virginia, and I went to Williamstown, Massachusetts, to the Clark Art Museum, which was just mind-blowing. So there's so many benefits to touring. When I had finished on the second national tour and I came back, the Chicago Symphony started calling me to play ethnic flutes when they were doing the film score concerts. So the Lord of the Rings or the Return of the King, Gladiator. So I got to play a number of Chicago Symphony concerts on these flutes because they knew that I was playing them. So one thing always leads to another. So you might give something up, but you're gaining something else in a whole different way that will totally take you by surprise. So I've learned that, you know, just be prepared for where life takes you, and you're going to have a lot of surprises down the road, as it were.
That is just wonderful advice, and I'm so glad to hear it. And You know, symphonies are being more and more open to film scores and musical scores and things like that. You know, I think even children nowadays that play some of the video games with big musical orchestral scores don't really realize that they're being exposed to many times composers who have had a lot of classical training, and they're hearing this big orchestral music. And so coming to The Lion King, they're going to be hearing a classically trained composer who's worked very hard at his craft. And so we get it in how we can.
Exactly. And even, you know, my students that are learning the flute, I've taught them that I tell them to embrace these instruments, because it will only add dimension to their playing. It'll make them desirable as a performer. They will use them. It adds so many creative elements that they wouldn't have dreamt of otherwise. So I try to impart that to students as well. Like, go ahead and grab a flute and try it out. You're going to love it.
We've got time for maybe just one or two more sounds of among the flutes that you have brought. If you've got one or two more that you can share with us, that would be great.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to play this Irish side-blown flute.
And where does the Irish flute have a place in the production?
And it's kind of interesting that although we're going for this very African sound in the score, none of these instruments are specifically from Africa or from any African country. But there is kind of a universal, how would I say, not creation, but you will find these, they're kind of ubiquitous, if I can't think of any other word. This side-blown flute with six holes. The Chinese flute has a little extra hole in the middle where you can put paper and it makes it buzz almost like a kazoo. Some instruments in different cultures have a smaller bore. And so they'll have different sounds, but it's the same instrument throughout the world.
Yeah, we were listening this morning to Marketplace Morning Report, and they had a woman talking about a new find, a flute made from a deer bone that had just been uncovered. And it got me to thinking about what a historical instrument they are. I mean, they've been around for millennia, not just a few thousand, but, you know, 30 or 40,000 years. So
percussion and blown instruments are the original human expression in music.
They are, and still going strong. Well, Darlene Drew, thank you so much for sharing some of your time and these wonderful sounds with us here at Wisconsin Public Radio. It's just a pleasure.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was a real pleasure being here.
Darlene Drew is a flutist, and she is here in Wisconsin as part of the touring production of the Broadway musical The Lion King. And if you'd like information about that, you can find details at overturecenter.org. Or you can find information about Darlene at darlenedrew.com.